13, verse 14. It says, "And it shall be when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrificed to the Lord all that opened the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeemed. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for allowing all these people to come here today, Lord. I thank you for just for them being here to hear the word of God preached. And Lord, I pray that this morning, because they're here, Lord, that you'll just open up the windows of heaven, Lord, and put a blessing upon them. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Everybody in here, Lord, has many needs, Lord, and we are a needy people. We need to hear from you today, Lord. We need to hear from you from the word of God. And Lord, I just pray that we will be not only hearers, but doers of the word. Lord, so many people today, they hear and they understand, but they won't do anything for you, Lord. They won't serve. But Lord, these people are here today, Lord, and when they could be anywhere else. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just speak to their hearts today, Lord. If there were to be anybody here today, Lord, that's not saved, Lord, you know who they are. They know who they are. And Lord, I just pray that they'll not leave this building today without knowing that they have a home in heaven and that their sins have been forgiven. Father, I pray also for the Christians in here today, Lord. I pray we'll be edified by your word, that we'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, Lord. And Lord, I pray this apply it to our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want you to pay particular attention this morning to three words found in verse 17. And those three words are, God led them. God led them. What a blessing it is to be able to comprehend such a thing, knowing that God leads us. The creator of all things looks down upon this earth and says, I'm going to lead Bob Crowder. I'm going to lead Tom Foster. I'm going to lead this person. I'm going to lead that person. I'm going to lead Graceway Baptist Church. I mean, if you think of just about how insignificant we are, that the Creator would look down and say, not only am I going to save that person, but I'm going to lead that person. And what a great thing that is. In fact, we should rejoice in that every day, that God thinks enough of us not to just leave us here to fend for ourselves, but He leads us. And but you know, even though God guides us and leads us, sometimes we find out that things just don't happen the way we have planned them to happen. You ever notice how, you know, we'll pray for the Lord's guidance, but yet we still don't have in our minds exactly how we're going to do things. And when we start to do it, when things don't start to go the way we expect them to go, we start to think, well, maybe I'm out of the will of God. Maybe I messed up somewhere. Maybe I missed something. But the thing about it is, sometimes God guides us and leads us in places that, well, it's just different the way we want to go. You know, in other words, we pray for God's guidance, but then we want to go our way. And then when it all works out, we're like, well, Lord, let us do that. And then when things don't work out, we could say, well, you know, maybe I'm out of the will of God. But we find ourselves sometimes whenever we decide to let God guide us, and we submit ourselves to God, and we humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And then all of a sudden, while we're following the Lord, we get to the point to where we get to situations to where we think there's no way out. And we start to see things not happen the way we plan them to happen. And we start to see things going different the way we had planned. And sometimes you even get to the point where things start to go wrong. And you ask yourself, you say, well, I thought I was following the Lord. I thought I was doing what the Lord's will is. And we'll say, well, we'll even go sometimes so far to say, well, I wonder if God's aware of what's going on in my life. Or maybe the Lord is, why is the Lord allowing me to go through this thing? And I wonder whether or not I'm in God's will. Because after all, if God is leading, how come I'm being diverted in life? How come I'm reaching to this point to where things aren't going well? And oftentimes we'll say it must be the devil. And sometimes it is. But not always. You know, sometimes we will read our Bible. We'll say, well, we want to follow the Bible, do exactly what the Bible tells us to do, and that's what we should do. We should pray and ask for the Lord's guidance. But still we find so many unexpected things show up in our path to where, like I said, things just don't work out the way we would have them to work out. And so it's basically unexpected things in the journey of life. How many of you know what I'm talking about when you just run across those unexpected things in the journey of life? Well, when it comes to those things, there are some things that you need to understand about it. And the first thing you need to understand about those unexpected things that come along, even when you've humbled yourself and you say, I want to follow the Lord, when those unexpected things come along in life, you need to understand some things. And the first thing you need to understand is that God sometimes will divert your path. You pray and you say, Lord, guide me where you want me to go. Show me where you want me to go. And then when he starts to show you where he wants you to go, and all of a sudden you come and things start to go hard on you, and things start to go wrong, you start to question God. You start to question yourself, and you start to say, well, am I really doing what God wants me to do? Listen, just because you're following the Lord doesn't mean that the path is going to be without troubles.
Amen.
It doesn't mean that. Now, I tell you this, when you start reading about the children of Israel, you're going to find out that they were following God, but yet they still had some troubles. Now, a lot of those troubles they brought on themselves, but still there were some troubles there. And so sometimes we need to understand that God will divert your path. Now, if you'll notice here in this passage, or when you read about how the Lord guided the children of Israel after he delivered them out of Egypt, you'll notice that God did not deliver them or did not lead them the shortest path. In other words, from the time they left Egypt to the promised land really wasn't that far. But they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, I'm telling you, unless you're inside that U-Haul that I drove, you could probably walk 40 miles. And be there, walk a distance and get there sooner than 40 years. But why did God lead them this way? I mean, the closest point between this point and this point, the quickest way is a straight line, amen? Well, listen, God knows that. God's perfect, right? But yet God did not lead them in a straight way. And he didn't take them straight to the promised land. Well, why didn't he? Why didn't he take the shortest route? Why didn't he take the shortest route from the Red Sea to the promised land? I mean, after all, I mean, that's the fastest way. And God would have known that. But why didn't he? Well, may I tell you, sometimes the shortest way isn't necessarily the best way.
Amen.
The shortest way is not necessarily the best way. And God always has a purpose for diverting us. And God tells us very plainly here why he did not lead them straight from the Red Sea to the promised land. Look if you would at verse 17. It says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God knew that if he led them straight from the Red Sea, straight into the promised land, they would go straight right through Philistia. And if they went through Philistia, they would have met the Philistines. Now remember, folks, the children of Israel, they had never seen the Philistines up until this time. They had probably never even heard of Philistines up until this time. And God knew this. And the children of Israel had no idea really what was out there. I mean, they had been in Egypt for a very long time. And these people, the only thing they knew was Egypt. That's all they knew. The people that had come into Egypt had long since died. And so the people that God delivered out of Egypt, the only thing they knew at this point was Egypt. That's what they knew. So when God led them out of there, they had never seen the Philistines. They had never seen all these different people. They had never seen these things because they only knew one thing. They knew that God was God. He was the I am that they had heard from their forefathers. And they knew about Egypt and how they'd been treated there. And hey, they had just saw the Red Sea parted. But they didn't know anything else. They didn't know what was out there. But God knew what was out there. God knew what was out there. And God didn't lead them there because basically they weren't ready for what was out there. And so, I'm glad that God diverts our path sometimes because we aren't ready. You know, have you ever prayed for something and say, oh, Lord, just give me that. And Lord, if you'll give me that, I'll just serve you more and more. Oh, yeah. We make those promises to the Lord. And then when the Lord doesn't give it to you, we get all down in the mouth and we think, well, I just don't understand why God didn't answer the prayer. And then about 5 years later, you look back and you say, boy, I sure am glad I didn't get what I wanted back then. because I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't ready for it. But I tell you, there are some dangers out there that God knows about that you don't know about. And sometimes when we say, Lord, guide me, and we think the Lord's going to guide me, guide us a certain way, and we start to move in that direction, all of a sudden, the Lord just puts stumbling blocks there and says, no, I'm not going to take you that direction. I'm going to take you over here. I'm going to take you over here first. And then I'm going to take you over here next. And you say, well, Lord, I don't understand it. I just want to be there. Well, you know, one of the reasons why is because you weren't ready to go straight to that thing. God has to kind of take you around. God knew the children of Israel had seen those Philistines, that the children of Israel would have been frightened. And if they were frightened, they would have wanted to return to Egypt. And they would have become dismayed, and they would become discouraged, and they would become defeated. So God didn't lead them that way because God knew that they weren't ready for what was out there. And I'm glad that God leads us the way He leads us rather than the way I want to go and the way you want to go. Amen? Now, God has a land of blessing for all of us. I don't preach a prosperity gospel. Can't stand it. Right. By the way, that is not the gospel. But I will tell you this. God's desire is to bless His children. Amen. God's desire is to bless His children. And God has a blessing for each one of us that He wants to give us. But, you know, maybe you're out in the wilderness right now. Maybe things aren't going to where you feel like you're being blessed all the time. And maybe you're going around in circles and you may think that you're out of the will of God. But maybe it's just God leading you roundabout. Maybe God's leading you in the way that He wants to lead you rather than the way you think you should go. Because God knows about things that you aren't quite ready for. Some of the things that He has in store for you, you'll maybe get down the road. But right now, maybe you're not ready for it. And so that wilderness road that sometimes we find ourselves on does not mean that you're necessarily out of the will of God. It could very well mean that you're following the Lord exactly where He wants you to go. Now I'll tell you something, folks. It took me a while to figure that thing out. You know, just like anybody else, you know, when I pray about things, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I've got my ideas, and this is exactly what I want to do. This is what I want to do in life. But the Lord has other plans. And the Lord knows what He's doing. Bob Crowder doesn't know what he's doing. He only thinks he does. But the Lord knows. You know what the Lord really wants from all of us? For us just to be obedient and faithful. And follow Him. Those children of Israel didn't know anything. I mean, here's what they do. Hey, we're leaving Egypt. Hey, we're not going to get any more whips across our backs. This is great. Oh, and we're following the one that our forefathers talked about, the great I Am. We're following Him. And well, you should have seen when He split that Red Sea wide open. It was just great. And so they're walking around and they're thinking, okay, no, we're going to go to the promised land. We don't know where it is, but we think it's this direction, so we're going to start going. And all of a sudden they start marching. The Lord says, no, I don't want you that way. I want you to go over here. And I'm sure that somebody says, well, wait a second, I saw a map over there in Egypt when they had it on the wall. And I saw on that map there it said, Egypt here, promised land here. But hey, we aren't going this way. We're kind of walking around here. How come the Lord's leading us this way? Have you ever asked yourself that? How come the Lord's leading me this way? I thought I prayed that I wanted to do this. And the Lord isn't doing this to me. He's taking me over here. Well, folks, how many of you have ever done that? And then when you finally got to where you wanted to be, you look back and you say, boy, I sure am glad the Lord took me His way rather than me getting it my way. Amen. There have been many times, folks, that I thought I was ready to do a certain thing, and I was fired up to do it. Oh, what's God? I'm going to do this for you, Lord. I want to do this for you, Lord. This is what I want to do for you, Lord. Lord, if you'll lead me, I'll do it. But this is what I want to do. But the Lord didn't take me right there to that. The Lord had to take me around. The Lord had to let me see some things. The Lord had to show me that there were dangers out there that Bob Crowder wasn't ready for. And He'll do the same thing for you. He'll do the same thing. And so, the children of Israel, they would have gotten frightened about these Philistines, but the Lord led them away from there so they wouldn't have to face that. Maybe you're one of those people today that's kind of going in circles and issues in life. Maybe you've been praying about something. You haven't got that prayer answered yet. But you know, the Lord has a reason for that. And one of those reasons is maybe you're just not ready for it yet. You're not ready for it. I'll tell you another reason too. Sometimes when we pray and we want to do things for the Lord, sometimes there are those things that the Lord puts in our path, those tough situations. Even though we're following the Lord, He still puts those tough situations in front of us. And you say, well, Lord, why would you do that? And I tell you, sometimes He does it just to toughen you up a little bit. May I tell you that, now don't take this wrong, but some Christians today are a little weak when it comes to being tough. A little bit weak when it comes to being tough. Like Brother Laura was mentioning today, he was talking about those kids that stood up when a gunman stood there. And he says, anybody here Christians, knowing what was going to happen, people still stood up and said, Hey, I am. May I tell you, that's a tough Christian right there. You say, well, what do you mean tough? No, you're like, tough? No. Somebody that's strong in the faith. Somebody that says, hey, you know what? I am a Christian. And you know what? What can you possibly do to me? Because you kill me today, I'm seeing the Savior. Now, let me tell you something, folks. That's faith. Many Christians, they don't have that. Many Christians today, they'll say that they're Christians, or in private. They'll act like they're Christians, but they aren't tough enough to stand up for their faith. There are many Christians today that aren't tough enough to go tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not being hard on you. The bottom line is not all Christians are tough today. These children of Israel certainly weren't tough. But I'll tell you what, the Lord led them in a place that made them kind of toughen up. Amen. I mean, after all, he led them right there in the wilderness. You read about the wilderness, and here's what they didn't have in the wilderness. They didn't have a lot of water. They didn't have a lot of water. Remember, they had to strike the rock and get water. Didn't have a lot of food out there either. But yet, the Lord still led them out there. By the way, God did provide for them the entire time, even though it was tough. You ever been through tough times and had the Lord provide for you? Happens every time, doesn't it? You know, we go through the toughest time in the world when we start to think gas price is going to get close to $3 a gallon. That's what we think is tough. But the Lord always provides, doesn't he?
Amen.
He does. You know, the thing about it is sometimes people have to be toughened up. You know, God is not in a hurry, but he knows what's out there. If you think about this, God called Moses, but yet Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert before God used him. God called Paul, but yet Paul spent some time in Arabia before God used him. Why? Well, for them to learn, to toughen up. You know, we always think that sometimes we're out of the will of God, but that's not necessarily so just because things get tough. You know, it's called preparing you for something. Listen, if you want to do something and God wants you to do something and you and God are both on the same page and you say, okay, I know it's God's will for me to do this, and all of a sudden that road starts getting a little tough, we start to get a little soft about it. We start to complain about it. Lord, don't you know what you're doing? But sometimes the Lord is preparing you for things to come. You know, I'm just going to be plain and simple with you right now. In the last 8 years, pastoring down in Oklahoma, the church that we were in went through some very, very, very tough times. I mean, when I say tough to the point to where there was a family that had committed one person had committed a felony. I mean, it was a very tough time for in our church. Things, very bad things happened. The devil tried to get in many times. And the whole time, I'm looking at like, Lord, why are you doing this? Lord, and you know, we're here, we're trying to serve you. Lord, we're doing this, and Lord, we know you're in it, but how come this is happening? We couldn't figure out why all the tough times were going on. But then, after God got us through those tough times, I look back, and here's what I saw. I saw Christians that had grown in grace because they went through those tough times. I saw a pastor that thought he knew everything, that figured out he didn't know anything at all. And it helped me grow in grace. It helped me see some things. It helped me see that people have problems. People just have problems. It's called the flesh. It's called sin. And it helped me to grow. You know what? I'm glad that the Lord showed me those things. I knew I was in the will of God. I mean, the second I left Montana and went down to Oklahoma at the time, I didn't understand it, but I knew it was God's will. But he had to teach me a few things. He had to toughen me up a little bit. He had to show me that Bob Crowder doesn't know everything. And I tell you what I'm learning every day is the more I learn, the less I actually know. Am I the only one that knows that? I started reading the Bible and I'm like, man, I read that passage 15 times and I never saw that before, Lord.
know what? Just if you're doing the Lord's will, and you know it's the Lord's will, and He's guiding you and leading you, and you go through all the, sometimes you run across those tough times. Sometimes the Lord has put things in front of you that will divert you to where you won't go that certain direction. You'll follow Him because there's things out there that He knows that will hurt you. Sometimes He does it just to toughen you up, son. Just to show you that things aren't always the way you think that they are. And then also, you'll notice too that not only did He do it to toughen them up, but sometimes the Lord will guide you into, will lead you a certain way that you think that is different the way you should go, because we need to build your faith up as well. To build your faith up. Now, I want you to notice here in verse 21, notice it says, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people." Now, if you'll remember, just before the children of Israel left Egypt, the Passover lamb, which represented the Lord Jesus Christ, they had killed the Passover lamb, and then the fire and the pillar of cloud represents the Holy Spirit of God to lead them. And so this is showing us that after God redeemed us, He sent His Holy Spirit to lead us. That's what you're seeing. In other words, they did the Passover, and then they left, and it's God guiding them. That is a perfect picture of the Christian from the moment you get saved, because Jesus, our Passover, died on the cross for us, and then after you got saved, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And so what you see there, when you see them being led out of there, and all of a sudden you see the Lord lead them, after they're saved from the Pharaoh and from Egypt, you're seeing a picture of your Christian life, basically. And it may be that you're out of the will of God. It may be this morning that maybe you're going around in circles because you haven't been reading your Bible, or you haven't been praying, or maybe you haven't been listening to the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, if you're having tough times this morning, I'm not going to be one of those preachers say, "Well, just don't worry about it. It's just the Lord leading you the way He wants to lead you." That may not necessarily be true. Listen, sometimes when you're going through tough times, it's because you're not in the will of God. Amen? I mean, sometimes when all of a sudden you're tripping and falling all over the place and it seems like nothing's working out, maybe it's because God doesn't want you to go that way and you're getting away from the Lord. But may I tell you this? If you're away from the Lord, you do know it this morning. You know it. As a pastor, I've had people come to me and says, "Pastor, I just don't understand what's going on. I wonder if I'm out of the will of God." What a thing to ask. Let me ask you something. I've also had people say this to me too. "You know, all these things going on in my life, I just don't know. Maybe the Lord's chastising me." Whenever you grew up and your parents disciplined you. Now, when I got disciplined, when I grew up, I'm just going to tell you flat out, it's called being taken to the woodshed. You know, like an old preacher told me a while back, he says, "You know, there's a difference between a whipping and a whooping." Now, a whooping is maybe one, maybe a pat on the hind end, but a whooping. Now, if you get that whooping now, that's a whole different story. Whenever you got disciplined, was there ever a time that you did not know you were getting disciplined? I mean, think about this. I'm going to tell you a story. I remember when I was a little kid one time, I did something. I don't remember what it was. I'm sure it was bad. But anyway, my dad, he said, "Okay, son, let's go down to the basement." I mean, we had a basement in a little house, and the house was held up by poles, and we went down to that basement and everything, and so I knew I had to go there and take care of business. But like any kid, I'm not looking forward to it, okay? And so he comes down there, and he takes his belt off, and he says, "Well, come over here." And I was like, "Ooh." And then he starts walking toward me, so I run, and my dad starts chasing me, and I grab hold of the pole, and I'm like swinging around this pole like this, and my dad, he starts chasing me, and finally he got tired of chasing me, so he sat down, and all the time he's just sitting down, he just starts laughing. Well, I see my dad laughing, and I start laughing. He's laughing, I'm laughing, he's laughing, I'm laughing the whole time, and I'm not noticing he's getting a little closer. And he laughs more, a little closer. And then pretty soon, he's laughing, and all of a sudden he's like, "God, stop laughing."
was no doubt in my mind that I was getting punished with my dad. My ear was telling me real quick, you're getting punished. Right? Can you honestly tell me today that you don't know when your Heavenly Father is chastising you? Of course you do. I mean, there's never been a person today that was ever being chastised by the Lord. And you say, well, how do you get chastised by the Lord? Well, listen, it's not for sinning, because God knows that we're all sinners and we come short of the glory of God. That hasn't changed. The moment you got saved, guess what? You're still a sinner. But you're a sinner saved by grace. But God's not going to punish you for sinning, because if he did that, it would be a 24-hour-a-day punishing. Then what does the Lord punish us for? What does he chastise us for? When you do wrong and you don't admit to it, when the Lord knows it's you and you say, I'm not going to admit to nothing. I didn't do it. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm not going to confess it. You know how it is when your parents look at you and, now, Johnny, did you take that cookie? Nope. Johnny, I know you took the cookie. Nope, I didn't do it. Johnny, you have one last chance to tell me you took the cookie. And if you don't tell me you took the cookie, I'm going to take you to, you know, whoop. Johnny says, I don't care about whooping. I'm not admitting anything. That's how you get chastised by the Lord, too. Mm-hmm. You know, the Lord already knows everything about us. He already knows. He knows that you said, he knows the thoughts that you just had. He knows. But he says, confess those things. If you judge yourself, you wouldn't be judged. Pretty simple. Just own up to it. The Lord makes it okay. Listen, the bottom line is this. You know if you're out of the will of the Lord today. You know it. Now, I don't know it. Maybe you're putting on a big show to where, you know, I'm a Christian, I comb my hair right in the morning, I put on the smell good stuff, and I make sure I look exactly like a perfect Christian, but you know whether or not you're living out of the will of God this morning. Amen. There is a person in here that does not know that. And if you are not living in the will of God this morning, and things are going tough for you, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that things are going to get better until you get right with God. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I learned a long time ago when I grew up, me being the youngest of the children. By the way, youngest are this great. We're so innocent, you know. But I tell you this, when I grew up, I had an older brother that I saw mess up an awful lot. And I learned two things. Number one, don't do what he did. Advantage for me. Number two, don't step between him and dad when dad decides to discipline him. Because you stick your nose in there, you're going to get it too. So, listen, I'm not one of those preachers that's going to say, listen, things are going to get better. I'm just telling you this. If you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. If you're getting chastised by the Lord today, it's just as simple as confessing and making things right with God. That's as simple as that. But we sure can be hard-headed here. So sometimes when you're going through all these problems in life, sometimes it's because you're not in the will of God. But either way, whether you're in the will of God or you're not in the will of God, it's your job to make sure you just keep your eye upon Jesus and follow his lead. God knows some things that you don't know that are out there. God sees some Philistines out there that you don't see. God sees some weaknesses out there that you don't see. And so we are just to keep our eyes upon him, because sometimes God will divert your path. Now there's another thing I want you to notice about this account, and that is not only will God sometimes divert your path, even though that you know it's God's will for you to be going a certain way, and he's leading you, but things start to happen, there's something else you need to understand too, and that is sometimes God will end your path. He'll take you right to the point to where you don't see any hope at all. And even though you're saying, I'm doing what I thought was the Lord's will, I mean, I've been praying the Lord will lead me, but yet I'm in a situation where it just seems like there's no way I could win. What happened, Lord? Well, that's kind of what happened to the children of Israel. Look, if you would, there in verse 8, Exodus 14, 8. It says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army overtook them in camping by the sea, beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now keep this in mind, folks. The children of Israel were being led by the Lord, and now they come to a place where they perceive that there was a dead end. I mean, listen, it was God that was leading them by the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And they were following God. And God led them right up to the ocean. There is no other place that they could possibly go. They are at the end of the rope. No hope. They look back. Egyptians, the most mighty army in the world at the time. There comes Pharaoh and all the chariots and all the horses and all the soldiers, trained soldiers. And there is the ocean. No place to go. No hope. But wait, weren't they following God? What? Wait, listen. It wasn't because they were out of the will of God they came there. They were following the Lord. And the Lord led them to a place to where they perceived there was no hope. Now, why would God do such a thing? Why would he do that? I mean, after all, I mean, weren't they following the Lord like they were supposed to? Weren't they saying, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Wherever you say, Lord, go, Lord, that's where I'm going to go. And look what the Lord did. He led them right there to where they had absolutely, where they thought that they had absolutely no hope whatsoever. Now, this was not some accident. It isn't like the Lord made an accident here. Look back, if you would, in Exodus 14, look at verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Heroth, but between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. The Lord wanted to take them to the sea. For Pharaoh will say unto the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that they shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Why in the world did he lead them up there to the sea, to where they thought that there was no hope. Why would he do this? Well, not only was it to draw Pharaoh in hook, line, and sinker, so he could bring him in and destroy him, but also so the Egyptians would see who the real, true, and mighty God is. You say, why did he lead the children of Israel up to the sea where it looked like there was no hope? So God would get the glory. So God would get the glory. May I tell you this, one of these days, folks, you're going to get to the point of life that you're going to feel like you're flat up against it. And you're the whole time you're saying, I'm doing what the Lord wanted me to do. I'm right with the Lord. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm willing to follow the Lord. But yet, I'm in a situation where it seems so hopeless. If that hasn't happened to you yet, folks, it will happen. It will happen. And when you get to that point, to where you think it is absolutely hopeless, may I tell you, there's not going to be a sermon that'll ever be preached that'll help you out. There's not going to be any counseling that's going to be able to help you out at that point. There's not going to be any secular book that's going to be able to help you out at that point. And you're going to think there's no humanly way that you could possibly get out of the situation. But may I tell you, God still has a plan. God has a plan. God had a plan that day when he brought the Israelites up to the sea. Now, the children of Israel did not know what God was doing. They knew that they weren't out of the will of God. They were following the Lord. But yet they were still at this dead end. And you say, well, why did he do it? Well, to bring, not only to show himself to be the only true living God before Egypt, but also to bring Israel to a place of dependence. May I tell you, sometimes the Lord will lead you right to a place where you think there's no more hope, just so you'll call upon him. You know what? The problem is, there are a lot of Christians today that they only pray when the bad times come. But you know, as your Heavenly Father, he wants to hear from his children all the time. And sometimes his children just don't pray. Sometimes, notice this. Notice it says there in that verse, it says, when the Lord led them up to the sea, that they cried out to the Lord. Lord, help! You know, you don't read about them crying out to the Lord any time during that time, except when they were out in Egypt. They had not cried out. Well, why not? Was he still God? What did he do? He had to lead them right there to that ocean so they would finally talk to him and call upon him. May I tell you, sometimes the Lord will do that. The Lord wants to hear from you, and the Lord doesn't hear from you. Sometimes he'll take you to the point where you have to get on your knees and call upon him. When you get to the point where you say, I can't do anything else.
One of the things I'm just going to tell you, I can't stand to hear is when somebody says, well, I guess all we can do now is just pray. As if that's a last ditch effort. It should be the first thing you do every day.
Amen.
Pray during the good times. Pray during the bad times. Praying without ceasing, what the Bible says. The Lord wants to hear from you. But now notice this, that once the Lord led them to this place, they're up against the ocean, and the Egyptians are bearing down upon them, and it looks like there's no hope whatsoever. The Lord tells the children of Israel to do four things. And it's four things, folks, that if you will just remember these four things, that when you get to the end of your rope, and you get to the point where you just think there's no hope at all, even though you're following the Lord's lead, and you get to the point where there's no hope at all, four things you need to do too. Notice the first thing he tells them in verse 13. He says, fear not. Fear not. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know, you see God allowed these people to come there to this place where there seems like there was nothing else, no hope left, but yet he says, fear not. When you look up in your Bible and you start to look at different passages in the Bible, you'll notice that the words fear ye not or fear not or some equivalent of that, you'll find it found 365 times. Now, I'm one of those people who don't believe anything in being an accident. Isn't it strange that the phrase fear ye not or fear not shows up 365 times? That's once for every day. Isn't that something? You know what he's saying? Every day, fear not. You're a child of God, fear not. You know the only thing you need to fear in this whole world is the Lord. That's it. You don't need to fear man. You don't need to fear, you know, the job market or the stock market or the gas price. Well, you don't need to fear none of that. Is God still on the throne?
Amen.
Then fear not. Fear not. That's the first thing he says. Here, I mean, now think about this, folks. We think we got it tough. These people were looking at the ocean here and the Egyptian army that's just licking their chops to kill every one of them. And would have. You talking about fear? And the Lord says, fear not. Fear ye not. And so that's the first thing we need to remember. And then the second thing he says this. He says in verse 13, he says, stand still. Said to the people, fear ye not and stand still. In other words, it's out of your hands now. There's nothing you can do. Here's what it says in Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You know, we hurry around. We try doing this and doing that. But God brings us to the end of a rope where it looks like there's absolutely no hope at all. And we think, Lord, what am I to do? And God says, fear not. Stand still. And then he says, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. In other words, it's not about what he's already done. It's about what he's about to do. Whenever you get to the end of your rope and you think there's just no hope out there, he says, fear not, stand still, and watch what the Lord's getting ready to do for you. You know what we do? Sometimes we cave in. Sometimes when we see the tough times coming, we just want to quit. But the Lord says, fear not, stand still, and watch what's coming. I'll tell you something, since I have been a Christian, folks, I have seen the Lord do some just amazing things. Amazing things. And I tell you this, nothing surprises me what the Lord does anymore. Of course, I say that. And the next thing he's doing, he's going to surprise me with something. You know, but the Lord is wonderful. The Lord always gets us through those things. And even when I've gotten to the point where I didn't think there was any possible way that I could ever get out of a situation, even though I was following the Lord, knew I was following the Lord always came through and got me out of that situation. Fear not, stand still, and do and watch what I do for you. And then all of a sudden, what does the Lord do? He splits the Red Sea wide open and allows those people to go across. But notice, it doesn't stop there. He said, fear not, stand still, watch the salvation of the Lord. He splits the Red Sea wide open. They go through there. But before they go through, he tells them one more thing. He says this. Look at you with verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Fear not. Stand still. Watch the salvation of the Lord. And by the way, go where I tell you to go. Keep on going the way I want you to go. You know, sometimes what we do when things happen in our life and it, and it stifles us, and we're following the Lord, and things are put in our path where we think we just can't get past it. The Lord is saying this. He's saying, fear not. Stand still. Watch me work. And you just keep on going the way I lead you. You just keep on going the way I lead you. May I tell you, because they did that, they escaped the Egyptian army. If they had not done all four of those things, they would have been slaughtered right there on the spot. May I tell you, the same thing is going to happen to you. If you're following the Lord, and the Lord says, now listen, I'm going to put this on, I'm going to divert your path, I'm going to get you over here. He's like, wait a second, Lord, I want to go over here. Yeah, but you're not ready for that yet. There are things out there you don't know. Yeah, but Lord, I want to go this way. And you decide to do it your way. How many of you understand that that's not going to work out very well? Can you imagine the children of Israel had done it their way that day? Can you imagine their stuff against the sea? They had options. They could have turned around and started fighting the enemy. They had gotten creamed. The Lord didn't want them to start fighting the enemy. The Lord said, fear not. Don't have to worry about them. Stand still. Don't even worry about that with those guys. Watch what I'm getting ready to do. He parts the Red Sea open. He goes, okay, now forward. And they all got through there. And they followed the Lord. They did exactly what the Lord told them to do. They walked through their own dry shod, dry ground, not sinking. They walked right across there. And then, Jim, we know the story. The Egyptian army followed them. The Lord decided to let that water come right on top of them, wiping them out. They were at the end of the rope. They thought there's just no hope at all. Lord, we're following you. We're doing what you want us to do. Lord, how come you don't take us straight there? I mean, the promised land is that direction. Why are we going this way? Because there's things out there that you're just not aware of. Things that you aren't ready for. Okay, Lord, I'll follow you. And then all of a sudden we start going this way, and all of a sudden it's just all of a sudden something's happened. Like, Lord, I'll follow you, but all this way here in front of me, I can't get past it. Lord, what am I supposed to do? Lord says, fear not, stand still. Watch the salvation of the Lord and just keep on going the way I'm telling you to go. Folks, that's what it's all about. The bottom line is this: if you're going to follow the Lord, you got to be willing to trust Him all the way.
Amen.
How many of you trust Him with your soul this morning? You called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. You believe the death, but you believe He died for your sins, that He was buried buried, and He arose again the third day. You believe that. You're counting on that. You're counting on Him to get you to heaven. Why? Because you know that He's able. You know that if He ain't able, you ain't ever going to go. So you put your trust in Him and Him alone. He's the one died on the cross for you. But yet, when it comes to following Him, the Lord says, okay, now I saved you. Just like I saved the children of Aaron in Egypt, I saved you. Now it's time for you to follow me. You know, the cloud by day, fire by night. Just follow me. Just stay right there on my coattails. Just wherever I go, you go. But that's where we have a problem right there. Lord, I know you saved me and everything, but Lord, do you know what you're doing when you're leading me here? I mean, come on, Lord, I know more than you. No, you don't. Listen, either you have faith in God or you don't. Either you have faith in God or you don't. And so He tells us where to go. Now, sometimes God will divert your path. Sometimes God will bring us to the end of our path. And then the final thing is, so sometimes God will test you while you're on the path. You know, even though you're following the Lord, how many of you understand, sometimes you're just going to go through some temptations. You're going to go through some testings. Well, notice there in verse 22, actually in the next chapter over in Exodus chapter 15, flip over there and look at verse 22. This is after they had already gotten across the Red Sea, and then they're still on the path going to the Promised Land. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Verse 25, and they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute, an ordinance, and there he proved them. You say, what does that talk? What do you mean that proved him? It means he tested them. How do you know that? I mean, after all, Pastor, you're just making up definitions for words. No, listen, here's what Deuteronomy 8:2 says. It says, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not.
They were being proved to see how strong their faith was. You see, God knew what he was doing. And God, it wasn't that God was mad when he led them through there. It wasn't that God was mad because they had sinned. It wasn't because Moses was a bad leader. I mean, things just happened. Why did God allow all these things to happen to the children of Israel on this wilderness journey? To prove them. To test them. And may I tell you, they failed the test horribly. I mean, think about this. All these things happened. You know what the first thing they did was? They didn't get down and start praying. They didn't go up there and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, we're just going to trust you to take care of this thing. They started murmuring. You know, sometimes when things start to go bad, we start to fail miserably too. I mean, well, we're real strong in the faith when things are doing good, but boy, the first time something happened that's bad, our faith is right down. Well, sometimes we fail. But may I tell you that even though these people murmured against Moses, which the Bible tells you in Exodus 16:8, that really the murmurings were not just against Moses, they were against God, by the way. But even though they murmured against God, you know, God could have struck them dead right then and there. But he didn't. He didn't. He had grace on them. He had grace. But what a terrible thing it is to murmur about God. You say, why is it so bad to murmur about the things of God? Why is it so bad to murmur in church? Why is it so bad talking about this and talking about that? Well, it's because when you murmur against God. You murmur against God. And that's an insult. Think about this, folks. Do you think he would have saved them from Egypt just to leave them out there in the wilderness? No. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think God saved you just to watch you suffer? No. God has a reason for everything that he puts in your path. Even though these people murmured, I want you to look what God did. In chapter 15 there, look at verse 24. The people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord. Now watch this. Don't miss this. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made them a statute and ordinance, and there he proved them. He showed Moses a tree. And the thing I want you to notice about this is the whole time they were murmuring and complaining, the tree was there. It was there the entire time. God had already made a provision for him. God had already knew what he was going to do. You say, well, what's so special about this tree? Well, Jesus Christ is known as the branch, the righteous branch. This tree also speaks of the tree of Calvary. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on a tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. And here God brought them to this place of testing, and this place was dry and was desolate. And he might, you know, we see this tree, you say, what's that tree? It's a picture of the Calvary. It's a picture of Christ. And even in places in your life where things seem so bad, may I tell you that Jesus is enough. You say, I'm at the end of my rope. I just don't know what I'm going to do. May I tell you this, that every one of us, if you're saved here this morning, every one of us are just a heartbeat away from heaven. Now let me ask you, how bad could it possibly be? I mean, in reality, we must think about this. You know those kids that stood up and said, I'm a Christian. You said, well, that's a pretty big obstacle right there. Yeah, but they knew that Jesus Christ had died for their sins. And they knew that they were forgiven. And you know what they did? We're just going to trust God. We're going to be just like those Hebrew children over in the book of Daniel. When they said everybody's going to bow and pray before the king, they said, no, we're not. We're Christians. Yeah, but if you don't do this, we're going to throw you in the furnace. Yes, okay, then do what you will, but we're just going to stay faithful to the Lord. But I tell you, that's what the children did have been. The people that weren't murmuring. That's what you need to do too. You need to have faith that the Lord knows what he's doing. Just trust him. And remember this, doesn't matter how bad things get in life, if you're saved, this is as bad as it's going to get, folks. It's all great after this. And I'm not saying one of those people, oh, I wish I could die and go to heaven. Hey, listen, if I'm living, I've got things that the Lord wants me to do. But I'll tell you this, if he were to take me home tonight, I'm ready.
Amen.
Let me ask you this, are you ready?
Amen.
If you're here tonight or this morning and you're not ready, you need to be ready. You can be ready. All you have to do is call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and trust that he died and was buried for your sins and he rose the third day. And you have hope. You have hope. What are we going to do when the Lord leads us in a way that we would think we should not go. What are we going to do when we're following the Lord and we're going the way He wants us to go, but things start to go wrong? Are we going to quit like most Christians quit? Are we going to try to do it our way and fall on our faces like most Christians do today? Or are you just going to stand there and fear not? Stand still. Watch what the Lord's going to do for you. And just keep on going the way He wants you to go. That's what the Lord wants you to do. And folks, if you'll do that, the Lord will give you victory every single time. You say, what's this whole message about? It's about the Lord saying, I saved you. Now follow me as I lead you through this wilderness that we're living in right now. And may I tell you, it is a wilderness out there. But the Lord wants to lead us, to guide us. And He will take us to the promised land. One of these days we're going to be there. One of these days we're going to enter into that rest. And we won't have to worry about any of those things. I was thinking the other day, do you realize that rapture happens right now? We won't have to pay our bills. Now, I know that's kind of a simpleton way of thinking about it. But isn't that going to be great? He said, oh man, that electric bill's high. I mean, it snowed. Rapture happens. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to going. Amen?
Amen.
Why? I have hope. And I'm trusting the Lord to get me there. Is that what you're trusting in today? Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for all the great accounts in the Bible, Lord, that you've written in the Old Testament, Lord, that we may learn by example of what happened to the children of Israel. Lord, in the New Testament, we see the things that happened to believers in this age. And Lord, we learn from all of it. And you speak to us from all of it. Lord, this morning, Lord, I'm sure that there are some Christians here today, Lord, that can honestly say, Lord, I am following the Lord Jesus Christ, but boy, the path has been so tough. Things have been happening. It just seems like every time I want to get close to the Lord and do what He wants me to do and follow Him, it just seems like there's always these obstacles put my way. Lord, I pray that You'll be with those folks this morning, Lord. Give them comfort. Help them to understand, Lord, that You know what You're doing. And the only thing we have to do is just be faithful and follow You. We don't have to murmur about it. We don't have to complain about it. All we have to do is know that everything that happens to us while we're following You, Lord, is for Your glory. It's to show others how mighty You are. It's to build our faith, and sometimes, Lord, it's even to get us to talk to You. But, Lord, You know what You're doing. Help us to follow You, Lord, without hesitation, as Your children. And, Father, I pray there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that isn't saved, that is not a child of God. Help them to understand, Lord, that they can't follow You because You are not their father. They are the father of the devil. And, Lord, I just pray that they'll call upon You to save their soul this morning, Lord. That they'll know they're going to heaven. They'll have their sins forgiven. And Lord, they'll start following You from that point on. Father, I pray You'll have Your will and way this morning, Lord. They're an invitation, Lord, to speak to our hearts this morning. Comfort those, Lord, that are following You. Encourage those, Lord, that are not following You to start following You. And Lord, those that are not saved here this morning, Lord, give them no rest until they finally call upon You. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As the piano player plays this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Maybe you've never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're counting on something else to get you to heaven. That Bible is very specific, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. There's one gospel that Paul gave. In fact, it was so important that he said, if any man bring any other gospel than that which is preached, let him be accursed. And that gospel is that Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That's the gospel you must believe. And you should call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. For whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you've been following the Lord, and things just been going rough for you. You just need to keep on following Him and trust Him that He knows what He's doing. Go the way He wants you to go. Let's all stand. it's worth it, then he'll start following. Because he knows where to lead you, where to take you. Sure, I'm glad to be here, and I'm thankful to see all these folks here at church on Sunday morning.
Amen.
You know, I just wish that all Christians would come to church on Sunday morning, don't you?
Amen.
I tell you this, I got to be careful. I'll start preaching again, you know, how Baptist preachers are, but I'm just going to tell you this, folks. You come to church for the Lord, you come to church for other people, and you come to church for yourself last. Church here for the edifying of the saints and praising of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And I'll tell you this, it's all about what's written inside this Bible.
Amen.
Do you believe this thing?
Yes.
Amen.
I believe it too.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this, I want us to get excited for the Lord. I want us to go out there and start witnessing to people, bring people in, because you know what? We have some empty seats, and the people need to be sitting in these seats to hear the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That's what we need. So I want to encourage you, go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell somebody you've never met before. Just go tell them. You say, well, I'm too scared to do that. Okay, we have tracks. Just walk up there and hands over and take off running. It works. Just give them the Word of God. Just give them the Word of God. All right, well, listen, you can tell by the smell. Boy, don't it smell good in here? It's time to eat. Okay? After you get done eating, when you go home today, continue to read your Bibles. Continue to pray. Continue to follow the Word. But until that time, let's pray. I'll bless the food, and let's go have a good time of fellowship. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for these folks. Lord, I thank you for bringing me here, Lord. I thank you for the work that Brent has done here, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all these faithful folks that came to church this morning. Lord, when they could have been doing anything else, Lord, they came here for you. Lord, they came here to hear your word preached. Lord, I'm so thankful for that. Lord, I pray you bless all our visitors for being here this morning, Lord. Bless all those that came. Now, Lord, I pray you bless our time of fellowship here, Lord, as we go and have a meal. Lord, I pray you bless that meal to the nourishment of our bodies, Lord, and bless the time that we have together. Help us to glorify you, Lord, in everything that we do. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.